This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come At It.
Welcome, everyone. That's right. We're back. Go, you know the drill. Go to all your web zones. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, big ones, you know. YouTube's our main one, but go there, like, comment, subscribe.
Go anywhere.
Really helps out the podcast. Next weekend.
Weekend after. Today's the...
Weekend after.
Today's the 7th, you degenerate.
Wow, I was going way too into the future. Not this next weekend, but the next weekend. We are doing a live stream. We are doing a 6-hour video game live stream.
We are starting at 12, around 12 noon Mountain Standard Time.
Yes, so please, please join us. Come hang out. Just have a good time. We're gonna be there to vibe, and then we'll go for a lunch break. You know the drill.
I am not. So I will discuss it with you right now, Will.
Okay.
For the lunch break.
Are we not eating on?
No, we're eating. I think we'll need it. We'll need it also to like re.
Well, I mean that's what rejuvenate we do, right? Ourselves. But we usually record us eating.
We will.
And talking.
But I think for this time, to save money,
okay.
I will pick up the food.
Okay.
Or you can pick up the food, whichever one of us wants to do.
Yeah, let's do that. So we don't have to do delivery fees, because holy shit.
So we don't have to do delivery fees, and you know, maybe on our live stream, I will discuss, and you can discuss, some of the amusing experiences we've had with food delivery in the past.
That's fair. That is a good
point.
Because
that is always a fun topic.
Yeah. That is a fun topic. Maybe on the lunch break, we'll talk about shitty food delivery.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
But,
okay.
That'll be a thing. And, you know, just, it's going to be casual. And even if you don't tune in, it'll be on YouTube. I know one of you has been watching through a lot of it. We appreciate that.
I'm also here to formally apologize if you're going through all the live streams because...
Audio
boy,
issues.
Some of those are rough, and I apologize because one of them, like the lunch break, is literally just silent for like 30 minutes.
There's something that happens.
We have a cursed live stream.
Sometimes the games literally kill the entire stream, live stream.
So we have two sometimes.
Which happens.
But yeah, so just come hang out. It's a really good time. We're excited to do it finally because we haven't done it in a while. So yeah, just come hang out and come vibe.
And if you enjoy it, you know, feel free to request more live streams in the future.
Yeah, we can always do more. I mean, obviously we have the capability. We don't always like doing 6-hour live streams where we play video games. So even when we did it, we kept it to like once a month. So
it's
we don't do it very often is
bad,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, bad games are a little mentally draining. Put it mildly.
But hey, if you support the podcast more, maybe eventually one day when we can quit our real job, we could do more live streams.
Yeah. Yeah, every day. No.
No. But anyway, thank you for listening. Go all that places. Go fucking share our shit. Go listen to all the stuff on YouTube. All of our episodes are on YouTube. Only a few hundred show up on Spotify.
On some other services,
So, yeah. Everything's on YouTube if you want to go there and listen to our first beginning episodes if you want. Anyway, that's enough of the business. I think, unless you have any other housekeeping.
That's it.
Okay, cool. Let's get into our request tonight.
Yes.
We watched The Mutations.
Now, the person who recommended this, you dropped two movies, so the next one will be on the next go-around, you know, 260. But the two requests this person dropped, the reason they dropped them is because both of them had directors who did, legitimate films.
Yeah.
Either before or after. And in this case, in the case of this one, it's a before and after, I guess. Because the guy who directed this,
His name is Jack Cardiff.
Yeah, he's directed several movies. I've seen one of his movies he directed. It's called Dark of the Sun, and it's kind of like a, it's like one of those mercenary movies, kind of like, you know, Dirty Dozen or something like that. Like a team-up mercenary action movie.
Mm.
It's pretty good. It's pretty, like, it's a lot darker and more cynical than a lot of the other ones, but it's pretty good. And then the last, but this is the last film he made. A plant monster horror thing. But the big thing with him is he is an Academy Award winner.
Yes, he's a cinematographer mostly. That's what he's mostly
for known decades. For.
He did a lot of shit. So,
But he won. He's won an Academy Award for cinematography, and he's been nominated, I think, like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And then even after this movie, he still went back.
Was the one he won for was Black Narcissus?
Yeah.
Because he's a cinematographer for that movie.
Yeah, that's the one he won for.
And so, just kind of a little lore, this is why it was suggested.
Because it's someone who's done a lot of legitimate work making a schlock B movie.
Now, I was really excited, if I can pull out my nerd card for a minute, because my boy, Tom Baker, is in this movie.
Who's Tom Baker? Well,
Tom Baker is Doctor Who. Well, one of the Doctor Whos. One of the incarnations. Original? He's not the original. Okay. No. He is, he was like one of the record-setting ones because he was on for like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the fourth Doctor, actually. Mm-hmm. He was the one in the 60s. A lot of people like Tom Baker. I have personally met him at a Comic-Con. Wow. Very, very nice guy.
He's still alive? He's already old in this.
I know. And so, like, I think it was Tom Baker. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I haven't met him, but, I swear to God I did. I mean, he was really fucking old.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He's 90 years old.
Mm-hmm. It was a while ago, so I think I met him when he was in his 80s, but...
Yeah.
It's like he's a pretty cool dude, and he's, like, a pretty iconic British actor.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to see him in this. He's in this. Because he's really good. I like him a lot. You know, if you... He was in a really good Sherlock Holmes adaptation, too. He did, like, in The Hound of Baskerville.
Mm-hmm.
Really good adaptation. He was in that. I like him a lot in that, actually. So, yeah. I mean, just kind of cool to see him in this, even though you can't really recognize him at all in this movie.
The mutation.
We did say it. Sorry. Yeah. I had a brain malfunction for a minute. We did say the movie.
You need to eat your greens, Will.
Now, I will say right off the bat, I do not hate this movie.
No.
I know it's going to sound like I'm going to critique it a lot, but that's just because I expected a little bit more, but I don't hate this movie.
It's very important, Will, to keep to keep your expectations at the bottom of the barrel.
Well, with this podcast, I'm surprised they're not, right? I'm surprised... After every movie we've watched that's like absolute dog shit, that my expectations aren't like lower than the fucking dirt. But sometimes I walk into something that, you know, you got like a world-renowned cinematographer directing, you have Tom Baker, you have the guy who played Loomis in Halloween. So you're walking into it and you're kind of expecting a certain caliber of movie, right? Because this is an Academy Award winner. Doing shit. It's Doctor Who. You know, you have a certain expectation, and I just think it was a little too high for me.
It probably was.
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. So maybe it's not a fair shake, but I just wanted to say off rip, I don't hate this movie. I think it's well made.
It could have been a lot worse.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of stuff to like about mm-hmm. this movie, but there's a lot of stuff that I didn't like as well. So for me, it's a little bit of a rocky, it's going to be a little bit of a rocky traversal through this movie just because I think my expectations were high. I wanted to like this movie more than I did. I think that's the main point.
Yeah.
So, anyway, with that said, let's get into the mutations.
This starts with a very extended opening credits with lots of time-lapse footage.
Like, it didn't throw me off, but I could see someone watching this and being like, is this, like, literally the entire movie? Because it goes on for, like...
The whole opening credits, yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's, like, 10 minutes of, like, yeah. just nature, like... time-lapse videos
of plants growing,
yeah, which is fine. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, if you want to go on Prime and watch this, they have like an HD version.
Yeah,
it looks really good. And so yeah, it's just a bunch of time lapses, and then it's a guy explaining these plants that
to a like a university class. Yeah,
well, it's basically carnivorous plants that eat
like Venus flytraps, yeah. and things like that.
You eat the like live things and how they've evolved to like have a taste for like living things mm-hmm. instead of just living off the earth and sunlight and water, right? Mm. And so he's explaining that there's like these like how they work and how they function, and
also his idea about how he about mutations and how, you know, mutations are usually accidental. But what if we could induce?
Well, so he's mutations? Yeah, he's theorizing about like basically using plants to further human evolution.
Yes,
and how you can do that, and how you can splice the two together to kind of end world hunger and all this shit, right?
Yeah, because you can just feed off the sun.
Whatever. So you get introduced to our well, at this point, four students, younger college students, well, two younger and then one's older because the guy from America is a little older.
He's not the college student, though.
Well, I know, but he's like dating one of them.
Yeah. Or they start dating.
Yeah.
But there's four in the class immediately.
Yes. So you get what are their names? I want to start doing names in podcasts because I always
have
like
fun with that. Well,
I know, right? Well, I have the IMDb pulled up here, so might as well.
One guy and three women.
Yes. So you got Heidi, Lauren. Shit. Okay. Whatever. It's fine.
Redhead. Okay.
The redhead
is walking home.
The redhead is walking home. And she starts getting,
she walks past a,
well, she starts getting
so, little person.
Yeah. A little person putting up a sign for a roving carnival.
Yep. And it says on the, and it says on it in big letters, Freaks.
Yes.
This is important.
Now, if you like the movie Freaks, if you have seen it and enjoyed you know that it. Movie, if you know that movie, holy shit, is there a lot of callbacks to that movie.
They were big fans.
They, you could tell it's very much influenced by that movie. So right, she starts getting stalked by little people.
Two of them.
Two of them start like kind of like chasing her through the woods. And so she gets spooked and she starts running, and she runs into Tom Baker's character,
who is
his name is Lynch.
He kind of, if you've ever seen The Elephant Man, it's kind of like that. He's covered in very heavy prosthetics to the point where you can't even recognize that it's him, the actor.
Now, it doesn't come in until later, but I will just say this right now just to get it out of the way. I noticed that the prosthetics have a kind of a continuity issue. So sometimes they're like heavy, heavy on his face. Sometimes they're a little lighter. I'm sure they didn't want to always put it like on and off. So it just becomes more and more noticeable as you're watching the movie. And then sometimes he has like fucked up teeth and sometimes he doesn't. So if that bothers you,
the only thing I really noticed is there is one scene where his teeth are
gone.
He has like normal human teeth. Whereas in most of the movie, he's got like a big like underbite kind of.
Right. Well, and sometimes like, you know, his cheek is like so he can talk. And then other times when he's not talking, they have this big fucking like mound on his cheek. So I get it was to like make like so he could actually talk and actually like move his mouth and probably breathe. So obviously it was necessary. I'm just saying, like, I just want to get that out of the way because it's just a little tiny nitpick I saw during the movie.
If you're a nitpicker,
I did nitpick it, but again, I'm just saying this now, so it's not a critique. It's just a little nitpick.
Now that Will's said it, you will notice.
Now you can notice it. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Especially
if you noticed it, so other people need to too.
Especially if you watch it in HD, you will know.
So she runs into this guy, and he
chokes her out.
He chokes her out, and then he takes her to this lab,
mm-hmm.
and you instantly know that it's the professor's lab, the college professor.
He feeds bunnies to
this motherfucker
plant.
These cute little adorable bunny rabbits. Just feeds this to this big ass like belly plant that has fucking weird finger leaves.
Its mouth is in its belly, I guess.
I don't know. It looks like a scrunched up like fat guy. Like, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's weird. It's like a Venus flytrap mouth, but then has this big bulbous stomach
that it eats out of.
Yeah, and it has this fucking these weird fingers. So he feeds bunnies to it,
and he has her in there, and you get the, you know, they kind of explain that Tom Baker's character, he's working with this doctor because he's promised him that he will make him normal.
Yeah, so the whole overarching story of Lynch is he is deformed but wants to be a normal, like, quote-unquote normal person.
Which is, I would say, and I'm sure you would agree, the most interesting part of the movie.
No, anything with him and the carnival that is the most interesting part of the movie for me. Like, that, every time... Like, the carnival and him were on screen. Like, any time they did any of that stuff, I was in, right? I was locked in. I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I like all the concepts that are going on. Because I like Freaks.
Well, plus
and,
it,
you know, and it, like, gives that whole vibe of, you know, these carnival people have, like, accepted...
They accept who they are.
They accept who they are.
And he's the one...
And they're okay with who they are. And they have their little tribe, right? And
he's the one who...
But he's the only one, because he's the owner,
yeah,
or co-owner of this traveling carnival, and he's the only one that cannot accept how he looks,
because everyone else
he's hideous, yeah. He thinks he's like a burden on society, like he cannot get over his own appearance.
The other ones are happy.
And it makes him a miserable person, which is the whole concept.
So he helps the doctor, you know, he gives him subjects.
Yes, so that's the whole idea, is the doctor wants him to give him subjects so he can splice plant DNA with human DNA.
And basically the subjects that are like messed up or whatever, he puts them on display in the carnival.
Yes, so there's like an exchange there. And so the scientist is like studying on the... You don't know what happens to the girl quite yet.
For now, yeah.
Because... There's this other lecture with an orange, and it becomes moldy, and then he can demold it.
He reverses the molding process.
With, like, this giant, like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids fucking cannon.
It's the same fucking cannon he uses on all the subjects, but yeah. And he, you know...
And so, like, to basically speed up the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, he, like, molds the orange, and then he ages the orange, and then de-ages the orange.
Basically says, like, you know, imagine if we apply this to people and their deformities and their disabilities and aging and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's like, think of all the advancements we can make with mm-hmm. this and what we can do with it. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not as long of a lecture as the first lecture, because they kind of move on, because now... All these, like, so the three college students left are going to the airport to pick up this guy from America.
Mm-hmm.
He's like another scientist.
Yeah.
And he is there because of this professor is doing a bunch of advancements.
There's a scene where he,
because he goes to visit the.
Yeah, he takes him. He's like, you know, he basically does the whole, like, you know, well, if I show it to you, you'll understand. You'll understand what I'm doing.
Which is funny because he sounds psychotic the entire fucking time he's showing this guy.
But because he has the proof, so to speak, he shows him all of his huge plants and he shows him like a fucking, it's like a rat in a beaker and it has a plant growing out of it. And he's like, look, I made this 10 years ago. And, you know, tells him all that. And the guy's like, okay, well, this is still crazy, but cool. Cool beans.
Well, and also funny enough, the guy who plays the guy from America is none other than some of you might know the name. He's like a really famous like sword and sandal guy from like the 50s and 60s. Brad Harris.
What movies was he in?
He was in Goliath against the Goliath against the Giants in 1961, and then he was also in like Armand in Jamaica, which is not a sword and sandals movie, but he was in just a bunch of stuff. Like he's just like a 60s, because he was also in like the Seven Magnificent Gladiators, which was a B movie from the 60s. It was 83. Sorry, my bad. I'm all over the place. Anyway, it's kind of interesting that he was in this movie because it's very different from what he usually plays. Because he has like a muscular build and everything, and he plays like an American scientist in this movie.
He wanted a vacation in London. Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, he's just kind of interesting that Brad Harris plays this dude.
Needed an American vacation in London.
So there's a lot of like star power here. You know, there's a lot of stuff here to like. So yeah, he shows them the lab, kind of
tells them everything.
Yeah.
All of them, him, like the scientist guy and the students, they go to the carnival.
Well, and so we also get kind of an idea of like they aren't as worried of their missing friend because they think she's like aloof for the weekend.
Because
it's only been a day at this point, and they're not really worried about her. So they do that where they show that they're not concerned yet.
There's also a scene where the carnival carnies or whatever are, you know, they're just kind of hanging out.
Is it okay to say carnies? I think it's carnies, yeah. Pretty sure.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to make an executive decision.
I've never heard anything.
Hopefully, it's still okay to say carnies. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So anyway, yes. So the carnies,
they're having like a meeting and they're talking about how they don't trust Lynch.
Well, obviously, like, why would you trust him?
Well, because they're saying, you know, he's rude. He talks down to us.
Well, because he doesn't respect them.
Yeah.
He doesn't respect any of them.
They're weirded out by the fact that there's been all these new people that just show up just for exhibits, but he keeps them locked up.
Well, and one of the little people is the co-owner with him. So they're both in, like, this in cahoots, and they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so he's just explaining that they're just new carnival acts that are joining the circus, but they keep coming and going, basically.
And now there's a new one.
Yeah. So that now there's a lizard woman. And so they introduce this is like our carnival where we get introduced to all of our, you know, people like carnies in the circus. Mm-hmm. So you have like the bearded lady, you have the monkey woman, like stuff like that.
Like, and it's all like real.
Yeah. And they're all like real actors that have
these things,
these conditions.
There's like a beard, you know, a bearded lady. There's a guy, there's all sorts of like body deformities, and it's all just, they go through it. They show all of them.
Well, there's a guy who can like pop his eyes out and
which is everything. Again, for real.
Yeah, and it's all on display.
Yeah,
they actually used like actual actors with these.
And then they're things. Like, all right, so for the extra attraction,
you're gonna have to pay a little bit more, and then when you can see the lizard woman, mm-hmm. and so the friends are gonna go and see the lizard woman,
and they're about to pay the guy for tickets.
Lynch stops them.
he basically looks at him and is like, no.
Well, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, we're all sold out. Like,
what are you talking about? Blah, we have blah, a blah, full roll of tickets.
Makes a huge excuse, yeah. right? And so Lynch walks, they walk, they're like, oh, fine, fuck you. Like,
yeah,
and whatever. They walk away. And Lynch walks up to him and he's like, you idiot. You almost blew our, basically blew our cover because mm-hmm. he's even wearing the pendant that she was wearing when she got kidnapped. And the friends are like, weird. Like, he has the same pendant that she wore. That what a strange coincidence, basically. Mm-hmm. They just blow it off like it's nothing.
Well, they do until the guy...
He sneaks back into the carnival.
Sneaks back into the carnival.
So, because he really wants to see this lizard woman. I mean...
Yeah.
Because I love when they show people coming out of the lizard woman. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're all, like, distressed and, like...
There's a woman who's, like, fainting. There's two guys, like...
They're, like, lighting a cigarette, but their hands are shaking and they can barely, like, light their cigarette. Because it's, like, so horrific that they can't handle seeing this lizard
woman. Oh, before the guy sneaks into the carnival, there's a scene of where... The mad scientist is waiting in the trailer, like Lynch's trailer, and he's just sitting there, and he tells him, you know, I need another one. I need another subject.
He's like, I need to study more because the one failed, and she, you know, she mutated too fast or something, because the lizard woman is obviously the woman.
Because she's just... When the guy goes in there, you see her, she's just kind of like laying there, and she has like a...
I will admit the makeup is pretty creepy.
Yeah,
I mean the lizard woman looks pretty deformed.
You see, like her head.
She looks all fucked up because it's like a bald head and like
big eyes and like
weird like eggy like big ass like bug eyes.
Big old lips.
Yep. Fucking looking like Birdo from fucking Mario. Like a fucked up Birdo.
But that's what she looks like, and then you know he looks at her, he sees her. And then
Lynch shows up. Well, he starts to go out and he sees Lynch at the other side of this, the other side of the carnival. And there's a chase sequence. And
he turns on all the lights.
Yeah. So he's trying to get away. Lynch is like gaining on him.
He goes into a haunted house attraction.
Of course. Horror movie logic. Run into the place where you can't escape.
But yeah, he goes through there. He catches him.
That's not a critique, by the way. That just happens in every horror movie. I think it's funny.
That's fine. He catches him and, you know, obviously takes him to the mad doctor. And he, again, does
another thing. Like, tells it's going like, to work this time. This I know it's going to work. They and have this like, huge, the fucking Honey, I Shrunk. Honey, I Planted the Kids fucking cannon over there.
He says he's going to make a man who can make roots. I
fucking hate that line so much. It's so dad core.
I don't know what's wrong with you, Will. A man that can make roots.
It's a little too punny.
Anywhere. Because he's a plant man.
Yeah, get it? He can put his...
man who can make roots anywhere.
Make roots anywhere. God. It's so dad core. Ugh.
And he, the whole time, you know, Lynch is like, okay, but you promised me you're going to make me normal, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, because he's getting pissed off because, like, literally the scientist has done nothing to help him at this point, and he's, like, basically killed two people.
And so, you know, they do the thing, and we get a scene of all the carnies having a birthday celebration for one of them, and they're all happy. Everything good, and you just see, like, Lynch just, like, being miserable.
Well, he's pissed off because the scientist has done nothing for him, basically. That's why he's pissed off, and he's, like, kind of taunting them a little bit, and then they all...
Well, he's, like, walking past him, and they, like, you know, one of them yells his name, and they're like, come on, like, come join us.
Well, they're trying to, like, include him
in this. But they do the freaks thing, because they say, like, come on, you're... one of us. You're one of us. We accept you and all this stuff.
Like, and Lynch gets mad. He's like, I'm not one of you. I'll get better. And
you're all freaks. And he like smashes their birthday cake and smashes everything and then leaves. And he goes driving around the whole time hearing them in his head say, we one of us, we accept you.
And I don't know when it happens after this, but we also get... because tensions are high at the circus, obviously. And we also get a meeting between the two owners of the circus because the lizard woman has died.
That's way later.
Is it?
That's later. It's after this. Because he goes and finds love, Will.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he tries to... He finds a prostitute, but no one wants to...
He walks past, like, a couple of ladies of the night, and they just kind of...
You know. I'll admit on the bulletin that he reads, I was a little confused at first, but we got there.
Look, I don't know what it was like finding a prostitute in 1970s London. I guess this is what you had to
do. I mean, this is what you had to do. He goes to a bulletin,
well, and it
he
says sees like,
a little advert for...
It says, like...
it says, like, a dance instructor...
With tight
tempo.
Yeah. And he just looks at it and, like, he's like, yes. Or
keeps a strict tempo.
Yeah. He's like, yes, this is it. And I'm like...
So he goes to her flat and goes in, and she, like, sees him, and she's like, okay, well, it's going to be £2. And he's like, well, no, I need you to say things to me.
Yeah, well, he takes off his mask, and she's like, listen, it's whatever.
It's fine. I've dealt with worse, you know.
And he's just like, I want you to say things.
And
she's like, oh, I can... She's I could like, say all the fucking nasty.
She has like, I have all the expletives or something
nasty
like that.
Shit, and he's like, no, I
need you to tell me you love me.
I like basically, you know, he just wants to be.
Well, he wants to be accepted because he thinks he's a freak.
Yeah,
and he's just totally accepted the fact that he is a deformed freak, even though he could be accepted by his friend group.
Yeah, he wants to be part of society, even though they all of them are happy.
Yeah,
and this becomes a big point of tension because the lizard woman dies.
Yes.
And they're like, okay.
Well, they also kind of threaten him because they want him out.
Yeah.
They want Lynch out of this circus.
Well, that's also later is, because after he takes the body of the lizard woman and throws her in like the river, there's a part where he's like leaving and they're all just kind of like walking up and intimidating him.
And the guy with that can pop his eyes out, they call him Popeye.
Yeah.
Pops
out a knife.
Yeah. Hmm. He pops out a knife to threaten Lynch, and Lynch goes into like the main like meeting with the other circus owner, and he's like, you know,
he basically tells him like,
he's like, we're leaving. I'm not doing this anymore. We're getting too much heat. We're not like, I don't want the cops involved in any of this. Like, I know what you've been doing, and we're not doing it anymore.
Well, he even tells him, like, but listen, if we just keep going, like, I can be normal. You can be normal. And he's like, I don't
want any of that. We're leaving.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, we're leaving at this time. If you're here, great. If not, we're leaving without you.
But there's a quick scene where it shows the doctor's lab and the body. It's not there.
Yes.
A bunch of blood, like, leaving. So you can tell he just woke up and...
Left the... I know. The movie looks really good. Like, so all the blood and then the blood covering on the curtains, it gives you, like, this foreboding, like, what the fuck are we going to see kind of vibe.
Well, he goes... Well, we see his girlfriend... She's at home.
Well, because she's kind of worried now because the girl has been gone for 4 days and he's been gone and hasn't contacted her at all because she expected him to call and stuff.
But he does call.
And he does.
And he sounds a little weird, but it's him.
Well, she's like, please come over. Like, I need to see you. Yeah. And
then, you know, he like rings the intercom. And again, she like buzzes him up and she's like, you know, freshening herself up. And you just see like a shadow coming up. And then he walks in and he's still like mostly shadowed.
Well, he looks a little bigger, right?
Yeah.
Like he's lumbering.
Yeah.
And so she sees him and like starts walking towards him and you see these
like artichoke.
Artichoke hands.
Reach out and then you see his head and he's also got like a bulging eye on one side and he's like balding. And of course, he's all green.
When he has this weird fucked up like side mouth thing. I don't know how to explain it really. Yeah. Like, I mean, you have to see it, but
he's still like, he's also still, cause he changes.
Well, he's still him. Like he still
talks.
Cause he does. He kind of like lunges at her, but doesn't like attack her, but he has to feed. Right. Yeah. But she just faints, so he so runs he away leaves. Before the cops can get in there.
And then so, there's a part where it's like a, you know, a homeless guy just wandering down a bridge and singing.
And you're like, oh God, an unnamed extra. This guy's going to fucking die.
Yeah, because you're like, there's no reason, there's no other reason why they would be showing this guy. So he goes down off the bridge and like lays down and just about to take a nap.
Yeah.
And our plant man shows up, and now he's more plant-like.
Yeah.
His chest is like...
like a fucked up like rib cage with a Venus flytrap.
Because when, in the beginning of the movie, they kept saying how all of the carnivorous plants have like... little like
tendrils that like feel for like
tendrils organisms. with like round ends, and that's what feeds on the protein.
And so like tickles the fucking homeless guy.
So he like he basically envelops, hugs him, and, double hugs him.
Yeah,
and you know the homeless, he's like screaming.
I will say the effects are really fucking cool.
Yeah,
they look really good, and they show it in like full fucking daylight. And it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
A lot of times, especially even on this podcast, when you show the monster like full daylight, it kind of looks really bad. This one did not look bad at all. They did a really good job with the suit. It looks really fucked up because it's like this plant monster thing that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And when he like eats the guy, it looks good. It doesn't look like hokey or anything. Mm-hmm. Like you know what's happening.
And then the he ends up going to the house of one of the other students.
Well, the one that's dating the American guy.
Yeah.
Now.
He goes there and, you know, he's like, she just got out of the bath and he like covers himself with a bed sheet.
When he tells her, he's like, don't get any closer. You know, I want to feed, but I don't want to hurt you.
Well, he says, like, write down what I say.
So he basically tells her what happened, that this guy is a fucking mad scientist.
And he's doing experiments on people. He's doing
experiments on people, and he needs to, you know, be taken down. So call mm-hmm. the cops on him, basically.
Then you hear, like, a doorbell ring. So yeah, she runs off to answer the door. She thinks it's... the boy, her scientist boyfriend, and it's not.
It's Lynch.
And he incapacitates her and takes her away to be experimented on.
Yes, so they have her on the fucking, in front of the cannon.
And once again, the scientist is like, this time.
This is the one, boys.
This one's not going to get
Third
away.
Third time's the charm. It's not going to get away. It's not going to die. I know exactly what I'm doing.
Because, I mean, our dude is, he's alive. But he escaped, so I guess...
Well, Lynch is pissed. He's like, he's like, and this is going to help me, right? Like, you're going to change me mm-hmm. into a normal person.
And you hear her boyfriend shows up at, like,
all the dogs are barking, basically.
And well, he went to the apartment where she lived, and he found the note.
Yeah,
so basically he said, he did it.
So he's like, he's traveling to the mad scientist's house, and we get a confrontation with Lynch, because Lynch, like, they start, like, fighting.
He knocks him out with a rock.
And Lynch is about to, like, kill the guy with the rock, and then all the carnies come out.
Well, a knife
lodges into his back.
And you see one of the carnies through it. And he turns around, and they all walk out of the bushes. Every single one of them walks out of the bushes.
And they all take turns throwing knives
at him. They all throw knives at him, and the whole time he's just like, get away from me, you freaks.
You freaks, you freaks.
And they all throw knives.
It's very Freaks vibe. Like, if they did a Freaks remake, it kind of gives me those vibes.
And he keeps
getting... Not that it's exactly the same as the end of Freaks, but I'm saying it gives those vibes.
It's extremely inspired.
And then the dogs take turns ripping this fucking guy apart.
They kill him. And the carnies leave, and that whole...
That's the end of that chapter.
Meanwhile...
On to the end of the mad scientist chapter.
He's in there doing his shenanigans, and you just see Plant Man. He, like, peeks through, like,
I love this scene. He just, what's up?
It just like, yeah, it's like a...
He just like appears in front of the fucking window.
It's like a roof window. Yeah. He just peeks through it and then jumps through. He just
crashes through the fucking roof.
Causes a fire and immediately hugs, double hugs the mad scientist.
I love when so the guy that got knocked out, he mm-hmm. finally wakes up and he goes into the house and goes into the lab. And he sees the plant monster, and the plant monster drops the scientist, who has turned into this, like, fucked up skeletal eggplant.
He drained his nutrients, Will.
It's so weird.
And then everything's on fire. Plant man burns. All the plants burn.
All the plants burn, and they're all, like, screaming.
And... Yeah. And he grabs the girl. They get in the car. And, you know, they kiss, they say, I love you. And then a camera zooms in on her arm.
It had to do a bamboozle.
And they like, do a 70s Photoshop effect.
I'm sorry.
Where they take the arm and they slowly overlay, like, a plant
on After it. All those... Okay, so I get why they did that, right?
Oh, really? Do you?
But here's the thing. After all those, like, really good, like, effects and everything looking really good... It just looks so out of place and so stupid at the end. I'm sorry. It looks so dumb.
Oh, William.
What? You can't say that
looks good. No, it was seamless.
It looked so stupid.
It was so seamless. I can't believe this. That scene should have won an Oscar for special effects.
It looks so seamless. It's like 70s, like the first special effect, like CGI.
No, it's literally.
It looks so bad.
It looks like when you go on Microsoft Paint and they had like the
fill-in
spray paint function. Yeah, and it looks like you take that, select color green, and just spray paint.
Oh, but there's two leaves that appear in the middle.
Yeah, because they.
What they could have done is put a prosthetic that grew a fucking plant out of her.
No.
Something, no. Right? If you're going to bamboozle us at the end, don't do a shitty After Effects fucking, like, MS Paint.
This was, hey, we finished the movie. And then someone's like, okay, where's the bamboozle at the end? And they're like, oh,
Where's our zinger?
They're like, shit. Okay, I got it. Take the zoom in on her arm and just overlay a plant. Got it.
That's what it felt like an afterthought, because it looks out of everything that looks the worst in the movie.
And then the movie ends, credits roll, and we get the sound of insanity.
I don't get what they did.
The first 20 seconds of credits is just sounds of screaming and children laughing and like...
It's what I imagine purgatory sounds like. It's just...
I was like, what?
Children screaming, ambient... It's like ambient park sounds.
Yeah.
For no reason.
With random someone going bananas on a violin.
I was going to bring up the soundtrack next. Yeah. Because every time there's a tense scene, they don't just have violins. It's someone... Like
shredding,
like fucking up of like a violin,
absolutely shredding it.
Like they are just fucking hammering that fucking bow onto that violin. It's the violinist they hired sounds as frantic as the scene is supposed to be.
It was different. I'll have to give them that.
I mean, listen, it's not bad. It doesn't take you out of the movie. I just think it's hilarious that they chose that. Like this. Maniacal, frantic fucking violin every time there's a tense scene.
Got to get you in the mood, Will.
Oh, man. I wanted to like this movie more than I did. I didn't hate it. I like this movie. I think it's a decent...
It's okay.
It's a decent 70s movie. It's not gonna... You know, it's not...
It's a little weird, though, because... My favorite section.
Still grappling with it.
There's nothing to grapple. It's pretty basic, but it's a little weird because my favorite section of this movie has
I'm grappling with my like of the movie. I know you're solidified, Kay. I can grapple with it if I want to.
I am not a jello, okay? I am a hard fucking old ass rock on this one.
I am a jello.
I think once I realized, like, okay, this is it, then yeah. Because my favorite part of the movie doesn't even have any horror in it, which is kind of weird. The whole section where it goes from the birthday party with the carnies to him going around and looking for a prostitute to tell him I love you, like that whole section.
Oh, I love that.
The best part of the movie, and there's no horror in it.
Well, and what was weird as we said it, where it's like it's a really competently made,
oh yeah,
like B movie plot, because you have this mad scientist that's doing all these weird experiments on people and turning people into like fucked up plant monsters, and it's like one of the most competently made movies like that, where it's like everything looks beautiful, the effects are so well done, there's like a pretty decent sized budget on this movie, so it's like it's weird. It's like this weird tonal whiplash, because you get this like very B movie plot, but very like A movie, like production.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
but there's little,
I did bits love
that seem like it could be going someplace better.
I just found myself really latching on to like the carnies and yeah. the carnival. And I wanted more of that.
Because that's the most interesting
part. And we don't get a lot of that. And that's the problem, because a lot of the stuff with the students, to be quite frank, is just kind of boring.
Yeah.
There's just like, there's just almost nothing to like really keep your interest for that long. It kind of, I just found myself being kind of bored by it. Yeah. The mad scientist stuff is great. I mean, I'm not going to say like the end of the movie is not good, but some of the like the exposition dumps and the fucking professor going on and on about fucking plants and mutations and all this shit. Sometimes I just found myself just like my eyes just glazed over and I was just like, I do not fucking care. Like this isn't supposed to feel like an actual college lecture. I'm watching a fucking movie from 1974. You know, I'm watching a movie. It's to entertain. I should be entertained. And I just wasn't, but I did really like a lot of the movie. That's where my grappling comes with it, because part of me was really bored, and then I would engage, and then I'd get bored, and then I would engage, and then I'd get bored, and then thankfully at the end I engaged again, because it's exciting enough to keep you interested.
The duality of man.
Yeah, engagement and boredom.
See, my issue is there's not enough oomph to it for me.
That's my thing too. I also, to be honest, with the plant monster, I wish there was more of that and they went a little bit more
crazy
with it, where it's like he goes on a rampage or something like that happens. Because in a lot of these B movies, that's what you get, right? The monster appears.
What you want.
And it gets like, it just fucks shit up. Because why do all that effects for like 15 minutes of like screen time,
which is what they do.
Yeah.
Cause even then,
cause even then it's like, he doesn't get those full 15 minutes
and it's like half a rampage.
Well, the plant monster's on screen for like a total of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like on screen.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you don't get enough of him because you've waited the entire movie to see this really fucked up, like, man and plant hybrid that this scientist have been wanting
to create
for years.
I mean, yeah, that's what they hype you up for.
And he's finally achieved it, right? And you finally get to see it, but there's not enough of it.
You get to see it, and then he actually kills two people.
There is not a good big kill count in this movie. It's like four people.
If it had more stuff, more violence, shenanigans, whatever, I'd be...
Well, it's just like...
I'd be happier.
My thing is also just pick a lane. Do you want to be freaks, or do you want to be a plant monster B movie?
Ooh. Both.
This movie did want to be both, but they didn't execute it well enough to be both.
Oh, they tried.
I'm just saying, pick a lane.
No.
If you want to be a horror movie about the circus, be a horror movie about the circus. If If you want to be a horror movie about a fucking mad scientist that wants to fuse plants with humans, be that.
Both.
I get they went for both, but they shouldn't have.
Both.
Is my point.
They drove their car over both lanes, okay?
They're fucking drowsy, so they're just fucking veering into both fucking lanes multiple times.
Because they just one of those wouldn't be enough.
But it would have been. That's the problem. It very much would have been.
I don't know.
Just go crazy in one section.
Or go crazy with both. Full crazy.
But here's the thing. Just go crazy. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's...
You're already making a... You know, R-rated B movie about plant monsters.
So it's like about plant monsters. Why not go crazy? Like, a lot of people are going to be turned off by that anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to
like.
This ain't winning Oscars. Like, no, you know, people will go see this because they want some insanity.
Yeah, I wanted like a fucking like grungy plant monster movie.
Exactly.
That happens to have carnies in it. Like, yeah. It's just I wanted that, and I wanted only that. But I got a bunch of college lectures and fucking weird, like, scenes of this scientist just droning on and on about plants.
The plants will fix everything.
It was like, it's like if you adapted, like, a Michael Crichton book.
Yeah.
But kept all the context of, like, the scientific context of a Michael Crichton book.
But
it's like if you adapted, like, Jurassic Park, but that kept in every single bit of the science.
Yeah, but, Will, the thing is, Michael Crichton's science is actually on point.
And that's actually real interesting. A lot of the times, yeah.
There's a reason people are like, oh, I'm going to read like a 500-page book where 70% of it is just hard science.
Better example. It's kind of like if you like did a film. Part of this feels like you did a film adaptation on plant biology, like a textbook on plant biology. Part of the movie feels like that, and it should not feel like that. I'm sorry, it's a B movie about a plant monster. You should not have a dissertation on fucking plant biology.
No, you should.
No, you should not.
Yeah, I think that makes it... That actually,
we're not watching a nature documentary.
That actually makes it better for me. This is officially...
So your inspiration was Freaks and the...
Your high school biology textbook.
High school biology textbook.
Yep.
Cool.
We got
the two inspirations.
There we go. That's the... Sir, what inspired you about this?
Well, first the movie Freaks. I think it's a really good movie about the carnival and like accepting yourself and, you know, being able to live in society with like, you know...
Conditions
that other people deem not worthy, right?
But the ultimate condition.
But the ultimate inspiration for me was when I was in high school and I got handed my plant biology book. And I was like, you know what? I want to make a movie about this.
And we learned all about photosynthesis and cells, cell theory, and hell yeah.
And a big honey, I blew up the plant cannon.
The bigger the cannon, the more scientific the movie, Will.
They have doodads on the wall.
There's a fucking... 50 bajillion doodads.
There's
on the wall,
doodads, okay? And thingamajigs and fucking spriggity war rockets on the fucking wall.
What else do you need? To prove it, it's a fucking movie.
About a scientist.
He's a scientist. He's got beakers, Will.
He's got a beaker shaker as well. Okay?
Looks like one of those boba machines.
Yeah.
They shake it up for you? Yeah. Except they have like six arms.
You're just like rocked back and forth. Beaker. It didn't spin it like in the cooler ones. It's like it just shakes them.
I guess the water can't settle.
It just jostles them.
The I don't know, the plant water can't be settled, okay? It has to be constantly jostled.
It has to be jostled.
Otherwise
while he feeds rabbits to this giant like beer gut plant. I don't. Dude, there's so much to love about this movie, but there's so much to not like really enjoy either.
Oh, listen, I'm totally fine with the beaker shaker.
I just love the doodad. I love a good B movie about a mad scientist with a bunch of random bullshit on the walls and fucking
just,
like
decoration
knobs you can turn and fucking like buttons you press and switches you turn and fucking controller arms you like throw.
None of it's ever used. It's just there for decoration.
Exactly.
It's great.
It's flavor.
Look, they were, someone had to think of it. Someone had to be there and be like, okay, every inch of this room has to be meticulously decorated with doodads. Yes. And I love that.
Yeah, and random.
We've seen movies where they show you a lab and there's just nothing. There's like a calendar on the wall.
We've also had like sci-fi movies where it's like takeout boxes all over the wall.
Oh, like very Forbidden World, yeah.
Very obvious takeout boxes, like plastered all over the fucking wall to make it look like a fucking spaceship.
Future. As a guy gets pissed on.
You can just rip it off and fucking put your Chinese takeout in there, you know?
No one gets peed on in this.
Yeah, no one gets pissed on, sorry.
So this movie loses.
Some guy turns into a fucked up skeleton eggplant, though.
That's what happens when you get eaten by a plant. Get turned into an eggplant. How fitting.
That's how I felt sometimes in this movie.
Like an eggplant?
Like a fucked up...
Like a shriveled up
eggplant. Like a shriveled up fucking bored eggplant. But listen.
That's what happens when you don't eat your veggies.
Well, let's get into Shitty to Pretty. And then I also want to give an homage to 1974, because one of my favorite episodes that we have is from 1974. So, Shitty to Pretty.
A 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm giving it. It's not middle of the road enough for a 5.
No.
But it does not deserve to be in like the 7 to 10 range.
No, not quite.
It's a 6. It's just kind of like bare bones, but just crazy enough to earn the little bump up.
It's, you know, it's a 6 because it's, I wouldn't turn it off.
No, I mean, I was thinking, honestly, I might have, like, if it went on a little bit too long with the whole fucking explanation on carnivorous plants, like if it went into like the 15 minute range, I would have turned it off. But
why? It's great ASMR.
Just put me to sleep.
Of some dude explaining carnivorous plants while they show you 15 minutes of time-lapse footage. Yes, I've
always wanted fucking Loomis from fucking Halloween to tell me about carnivorous plants.
About photosynthesis.
And, it really helped me, you know.
Yeah.
Like relax. Exactly. And just de-stress and decompress.
Yeah. Especially because those scenes, there's no music in them. It's just the droning of the classroom. So it's like perfect to lull you to a sleep.
I don't know if that's what they were wanting, but that's what they got. Okay. Now, with that, I will say, so 6 out of 10, 1974 has one of the wackiest fucking movies I think we've ever seen on the podcast. And it's one of my favorites. It's actually one of our highlighted,
it is highlighted
like videos on YouTube. Our YouTube.
It's the highlight. I purposefully picked it.
It's because it has one of the craziest fucking scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
It's so stupid.
Like it's up there with one of the most ludicrous fucking endings I've ever fucking seen.
It is so stupid.
Because if you remember, Help Me, I'm Possessed.
Uh-huh.
And the ending is he's like trying to comfort his subjects because he's like...
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
It's okay. So he's going to be okay.
He's like tying them up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And he grabs a hatchet. He's like, you and your evil.
And he kills them all.
Fucking kills them all. And then shimmies himself into a fucking guillotine.
And then.
And pulls the lever.
And kills himself.
And then his fucking lab blows up. And there's a fucking like invisible fucking monster thing.
It's the monster from the id.
And they can't fit the fucking like the fucking bodies in the coffins. And
so his hunchback assistant. How original.
Oh my God.
Has to chop off the legs of the bodies to fit them in the caskets.
Bro.
Look.
That movie is fucking deeply...
Listen. Hold on a second.
What are you doing?
Hold on a second.
What are you doing?
I want to see if it still says it.
What?
I want to see if the IMDb description is still absolute nonsense. Because when we watched it, we made a point to read this off.
Yes, we did. It's in the episode.
The plot description of that movie is a mad doctor runs a sanitarium in the desert. True. Where his hunchbacked servant whips women who are chained in the basement and cuts the legs off bodies so they'll fit in the caskets.
Yeah.
Sure. And then there's just two words after this. And the summary ends. The two words are complications ensue.
They sure
do. And I think I joked during the episode that that what happened was whoever was writing this watched like 15 minutes of this movie and turned it off. And just typed that up.
Which is funny because we might have to watch his one and only film after this that came out like 2 decades later.
The guy who made that?
Yeah.
No.
Charles Nizet. It's called Rescue Force.
Excuse me?
From 1990.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So we might have to. I don't know. Hold
on.
You'll have to see if it's a bamboozle. It says action, so it doesn't say comedy.
Oh, dear, no.
Yeah. It's his only other movie that he directed after Help Me and Possess. He directed a few in the 70s, but.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We might have to go back to Charles Nizet and see if his fucking action movie is as ridiculous as his fucking horror movie.
This is going to be trash.
Yeah. People are calling it like Z-grade horror.
Yeah, this is going to be
Z-grade action.
Yeah, of course it's Z-grade.
I mean, help me, I possessed a Z-grade.
Like, listen, some people can't do it.
They cannot, and he could not. And they tried with the mutations. At least it's better than that fucking movie.
Yeah, you can watch this and you're like, oh, the people who make this know how to make movies.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
You watch that movie and you're like, you have no idea how to make a movie.
This earns the B-movie.
Yeah.
Moniker, right?
Yeah.
This earns it.
Yeah.
This, The Help Me I'm Possessed does not.
The Help Me I'm Possessed is...
I just wanted to give a special shout out to one of my favorite episodes, which was from this year, so 1974.
I think our next recommendation is also from 74. I could be wrong.
It keeps on. Year that keeps on giving,
and it will be another film where it was made by someone who, after they went on to make legitimate movies. So then they made a pile of shit to start out, and then they.
Listen.
They got a reverse lobotomy.
We all got to start somewhere, okay? We all got to start somewhere.
Hey, I admire it. Listen, you make garbage and then you just reverse lobotomize yourself and are like, oh, I want to make good movies.
Like, actually, you know, I don't want to make shit anymore.
That's impressive.
I don't want to make schlocky shit anymore. I want to make good movies.
Because we've had directors who just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
They don't learn.
Quite a few, yeah.
They just, like, Don Doler doesn't learn.
Don Doler, I don't think he wants to learn. I think he just wants to make shit.
And he just likes his aliens.
He just loves fucking bad alien movies.
He likes aliens and rednecks in the woods. He
fucking loves it, okay?
That's it. You got an alien in a bad suit and some rednecks shooting at nothing?
That's Don Doler's shit. Are you kidding me?
He's a happy boy.
He fucking loves it.
Oh, God.
But anyway... That was the mutations. That's all I have to say. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go check out Help Me I'm Possessed. You know, go check out all of our other episodes if you want.
Be there on April 21st.
April 21st, 6-hour live stream. Be there or just watch it
or
after.
Be square.
Yeah. Oh my God. When we'll establish some roots.
I've already established roots in this chair.
So have I.
I think you already established some roots.
We've planted roots.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I just sink in. Mm-hmm. I just keep sinking. Oh, and then I'm just, that's it.
You plant yourself in the chair?
Every time I come here, I plant myself in this chair. I establish my roots. Oh,
fucking hell. Okay. I'm
feeling a little green.
This has been Will.
This has been Alex.
We will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Get your veggies, Will.
You go take a photosynthesis of myself.
That doesn't even make any sense. I know.